This is HDN.
Hey, it's Tuesday, November the 4th. Hello, welcome to the Halifax Daily News, and happy birthday, daughter Heather.
Yes, that's right. And coming up tomorrow, November 5th, is Crosswalk Awareness Day in the HRM, because we need a Crosswalk Awareness Day, because it's open season on people using crosswalks. The focus, and this is actually the kickoff to a whole campaign, it's Don't Let a Tweet and a Like Collide. Heads up, Halifax! And it's a whole string of...
You're wanting me to rant, aren't you?
Oh, God. This just, you know... Now, that said, there is some science behind this. The switch from daylight savings time does make crossing the street even more dangerous, because there is actually an increase in car accidents, car pedestrian accidents, mm-hmm. especially at this time of the year when mm-hmm. it gets dark earlier. Mm-hmm. And these collisions tend to happen between 3 and 5 p.m. during the week when people are rushing to get home from work.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, heads up Halifax, the new advertising campaign launching on Wednesday, but you've probably seen sort of little bits and pieces of it.
So they're focusing on the pedestrians here, are they?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Be attentive and don't be distracted.
Okay, good. For the first time, somebody has finally figured out it's the pedestrian's fault. I don't care who is legally to blame in this situation.
Right.
The fact is, if you're a pedestrian...
You've got the most to lose.
And you're walking onto a street, it doesn't matter if there is a painted line underneath your feet or not, there is one big, heavy hunk of steel coming down on you, and you can't just head out on the road without looking. How many times have I driven down the road and seen people just walk out onto the street without even looking?
Well,
and,
yeah.
you know, half the time there's no crosswalk there, but even if there is a crosswalk, who gives a damn? That car is not going to be able to stop if he doesn't see you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stop before you get onto the crosswalk, you have to get eye contact with the driver, and you have to be pretty damn sure that he can see you before you head out onto the street, or you're going to get hit. And I'm going to keep on going, because the same goes for jaywalking.
Okay.
I'm actually a fan of jaywalking.
Yes.
If you do it right.
So there's a right way and a wrong way to break
the
law.
There is. If you're going to break the law, do it correctly. Hmm. I've jaywalked before. I mean,
sure, we all have.
A lot of the time, you don't want to go all the way down to the corner. If there are no cars around, you run across the road.
Mm.
What bugs me are these people that start walking across the road. They take their own sweet time, assuming that every car that comes along is going to slow down and stop for you.
Yeah.
That is what is driving me crazy.
Well,
whether you're jaywalking or whether you're in a crosswalk, get your ass across the road. Thank you.
And I mean, this whole campaign does bring up a very interesting point. The fact that, you know, it's not just distracted driving. It's distracted pedestrians, distracted walkers.
I'd say 90% of the time, it's the pedestrian's fault. Not legally. Don't come back at me and go, hey, I was in the crosswalk. I don't give a shit if you were in the crosswalk.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, when somebody gets hit by a car, it's the pedestrian's fault because you've walked out in front of a freaking car. Are you stupid?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, there could be a billion different reasons why that car doesn't stop. Maybe you should err on the side of caution and just stand there for an extra 5 seconds rather than walking across the road without looking.
Well, and I've always, you know, I've always certainly cautioned Bronwyn against this as well. Trying to navigate traffic as a pedestrian with headphones in. That eliminates one of your key senses if you're, you know, if you've got the music blaring on your headphones.
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful, because, you know, as the science does prove, after the clocks fall back, that's when, you know, it gets darker earlier.
Right.
And definitely instances of car pedestrian accidents go up as well.
And you know another time when the incidences of car pedestrian accidents go up is when it starts to get slippery. And that's when these pedestrians will walk onto the crosswalk thinking, I have the right of way. I don't care if there's a car there.
Yeah.
But what you don't realize is that car might not be able to stop. If he slams on his brakes, he's still going, and he's still going to careen into you. So err on the side of living.
So I guess it's no longer just an urban myth. We had a little girl in Coal Harbor who found a 1-inch pin inside one of her Halloween candy bars.
Really?
Yeah, a family from Eastern Passage. The daughter was out trick-or-treating in the Astral Drive, Stratford Drive area of Cole Harbor. And a couple of days later, actually on Sunday, when she was enjoying some of her Halloween treats, she noticed the pin. And she did so after breaking a chocolate bar in half. That's a good idea. That's a good thing to get the kids into. Apparently, she does this for all the candy that she gets at Halloween, just as an extra safety measure.
What if you get one of the big bars? Do you have to break it into like a whole bunch of little pieces? Pin-sized pieces?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, it's just sort of interesting that she does that as just a matter of course, snapping the bars in half. But
check the wrapper, though, because nobody would be able to get a pin into your chocolate bar if they didn't break the seal of the wrapper.
That's true. But no other reports of treats that were tampered with. And just, you know, if you're in that neighborhood, just give a little extra check on the treats before eating them.
I distinctly remember saying this to you. When somebody said, you know what, there have been actually no incidences of pin or glass or anything like that being found in a chocolate bar. That is an urban myth. It never happens. And I said, oh, great. You just wait. Now some idiot is going to do it.
Because
you know, so, what do you mean it's an urban myth? I'm going to make this myth real.
Well, and we got all bullshit going on in Prince Edward Island as well with the pins in the big sewing needles, actually, in potatoes that have been found all over Atlantic Canada and prompted a major recall. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm just trying to think. Well, you cook potatoes.
Yes.
So it's not that they're not going to really damage. Not like you're going to bite into a raw potato and get this pin sticking in your face.
No, I mean, exactly. But I mean, you know, certainly
still not all that nice to get in your
potato.
Exactly.
You know, a foreign object in your potato. That's not not really the best way to start your meal.
Start your meal with grace. Then the foreign objects in your potatoes. The more industrialized we get and the more packaged things become, the easier it's going to be for just Joe consumer to walk into a store even with a couple of needles and just stick them into products that are on the shelves.
Yep, absolutely.
Don't want to give anybody ideas here, but that's the kind of thing that can happen. So you have to be careful with everything you buy. Gone are the days where you're actually buying it from the farmer that grew it. So if there was any problem, it would be that farmer or one of his employees. You know, there are how many different hands do things go through before they get to your table, especially if you're importing produce from right on the other side of the globe? I'm getting scared.
Yeah.
I don't want needles in my potatoes. I don't want pins in my O'Henry's.
Well, this is an amazing honor for a couple of Second World War veterans, both in their 90s, and they both live down Wedgeport Way, that's in Yarmouth County. Mm-hmm. They have been made Knights of the French National Order of the Legion of Honor.
The French Foreign Legion?
No. This is sort of the France's equivalent of the Order of Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a huge honor. And they've been bestowing this upon a number of Second World War veterans for their service in helping to liberate France from the Nazis. And these two gentlemen, 94 and 91, Wesley Spinney is one of them. Al LeBlanc is the other one. They got their letters in September from France informing them of the honor. They're going to be honored at a banquet on Remembrance Day, according to the local Legion. And
in France?
No, they'll get the honor at the Legion in Wedgeport on Remembrance Day.
Mm.
So that's when they'll get
terrific.
The pin. Oh, it's amazing. I know a number of World War II veterans in New Brunswick have just been given the same honor as well, as France pays tribute to the Canadians that helped liberate the country after or during World War II.
I wonder if the French president is actually dropping these off as he's here in Canada.
Yeah, first time in a long time French president's been. But I mean, he's not coming down to these parts.
He landed in Calgary and they took him right to Banff. None of this. I think the last time we had a French president here was the whole "Vive Quebec Libre" kind of thing. It's like, okay, let's keep him away from Quebec first of all.
He is going to Quebec.
Oh, is he?
He is. Yeah, the Quebec and
a little
and
gag
Ottawa.
Order on him. It's like let's don't do a De Gaulle here, please.
I don't know. I think Hollande is a little more moderate than some of his predecessors. This is kind of neat. Every now and then you kind of go through the tenders list for the province to see what they're buying and who they're buying it for. Looks like the Department of Education is looking at buying some 3D printers for classrooms. Up to 40 units of these things, And boy, they come at a pretty price.
Oh, big time.
$3,400 a pop. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what, you know, 3D printers would do for classrooms.
3D printers, they are, we're going to look back at this in 10 years or however many years and realize that the invention of 3D printers was one of the greatest advancements of humankind that we've had in the last God only knows.
Yes.
You know, yeah, people look back at the 60s and go, well, the beginning of the 60s, that's when the pill was introduced. And that completely changed humankind. And every once in a while, you get a certain invention.
Mm-hmm.
3D printers. I keep looking at the space program.
Right.
You know, this whole, well, we can maybe go to Mars, but boy, we're going to have to bring all sorts of stuff and set it up. Well, now you don't. Now you just need to bring a 3D printer, send the information to this thing, and, you know, get the raw materials from Mars and just start creating stuff there via a big long Bluetooth all the way to Mars.
To Mars. So there you go, kids. If you get one of these 3D printers in your classroom, remember that this is the most amazing technology. Don't use it to make bongs, okay?
Are these high schools? That's exactly what the kids are going to do. Watch me 3D print my butt. Really, the whole idea of just being able to press a button and have something, that's right out of Star Trek.
Oh, God, yes.
Do you remember the first video we saw? It must have been a couple of years ago now, where they had a wrench and they recreated the wrench.
That's right.
Somewhere else. And it just blew everybody's mind because it was in such detail. They didn't have to recreate the parts of the wrench. They actually created the entire thing and it worked. And it was like an adjustable wrench and the thing adjusted. You mark my words. Hey, I remember when Jamie Patterson said that 3D printer was going to change the course of mankind. Mm. And he was right. Last time I said that, the Betamax tape. Okay, so I'm not always completely accurate.
The track record isn't spotless.
but still.
Every day that passes, this Gian Gomeshi thing just gets stinkier and stinkier.
Yeah.
I mean, as we predicted it would. Gian is the next question. Word is that he has escaped Canada and gone to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That was the last word we heard. But now it's come to light that journalism students at Western University were cautioned against pursuing internships at radio show Q because of concerns about inappropriate behavior from Gian Gomeshi. This is according to a former student at the school and a journalism professor. I guess there was an incident in 2012 in which Gian allegedly preyed on a young grad who wanted to work at Q. And because of this, the school recently stopped a female student from pursuing an internship there. You know, it's getting...
Well, you knew it had to be big for the CBC to actually sever ties with the man and fire him.
Yeah.
There had to be just the shitstorm brewing.
Mm.
What would have happened if Gian had just gone, I'm just going to lay low, not say a thing, and just kind of slip into obscurity? I think if he had done that, this whole thing would have been the laughingstock. Like it would have been I don't think it would have gotten to this point though. I don't think that the police investigation would have proceeded. I don't think any of this stuff would have happened. But
you
for him
to
no, I honestly think that it would have been like a Pee Wee Herman type of thing. Everybody would have made a joke. Gian Gomeshi would have been almost a word for, somebody who does weird things in the bedroom.
The difference being with Pee Wee Herman, there were no victims. It was just him and his box of popcorn in a movie theater. In this case,
I don't know, if I was sitting in front of him, I'd
you'd consider yourself a victim.
Yeah, it's like, what was, oh, man. That's, okay.
You know, I mean, in this case, there are women who were violated. There were women who were assaulted, allegedly.
But do you think that these women would have come forward had it not erupted as this big media thing? Originally, when the CBC fired him, what did they say? That we have decided to part ways?
Yeah,
and
this is a relationship that can no longer continue or something like that.
If he had just not said anything, and I mean, this is an exercise in absolute ego.
Oh, God, yes.
Hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is probably what makes him the person that would allegedly do this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had just laid low, they would have just continued and gone like, wow, it's good that he got that. But because it erupted in the media, because everybody was speculating, because he himself opened the door talking about his sexual activity and the fact that he might, he did it himself. Mm. That's when these women felt, okay, I'm going to step forward too. Let's, you know, how dare he say that?
Yeah, I'm glad that they have.
Oh, and I'm sure, so am I. I mean, if these things, you know, and we still at this point have to say alleged, but the more you hear about it, the more you go, wow.
But the sad part is that, you know, there are a great many women who have, who, you know, have come forward, but have had to do so anonymously because they fear retribution. They fear social media backlash. And, you know, in the case of one woman, she fears what it would do to her career.
Right.
You're the victim of a crime and you're afraid to report it because you may...
Because of his position?
Well, you just, you know...
But so many women are afraid to come forward anyway. You don't have to be a Gian Gameshi. You can be just a Joe Schmo down the street.
Right.
And it's still very difficult to come forward with that type of thing. As Lucy Descotere said... She just kind of, it was like an incident. And she kind of shook her head and went like, whoa, that was strange. That was wrong. That was not, you know, and she was, yet it hadn't repeatedly happened. She wasn't put into the hospital. She wasn't, so she thought, well, maybe it was just an isolated incident or whatever. And she just didn't say anything.
Yeah. And
that's,
you know,
when you hear all these other women coming up.
Come to find out that there were many, many women that had these isolated incidents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So once again, if Gian hadn't raised such a stink about his firing at CBC, had his ego not been so huge that he actually thought that he could fight this whole thing.
Yeah.
After knowing what he allegedly did, it wouldn't have grown into this. So he brought it upon himself. Very Shakespearean.
Very interesting. eBay is now selling t-shirts. Teddy Big Ears t-shirts are now for sale on eBay with the word, or with the phrase, the safe word is Gameshi.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh is right.
Some things I just don't think are funny.
No.
And on that happy note, do you have any good news to wrap this podcast up with? How about wishing Heather a happy birthday again?
All right. Happy birthday to Heather.
20 years old today. It was 20 years ago that I saw her come into this world and immediately put into an incubator because she was 3 months early and weighed in at 1 pound, 15 ounces. And I will never forget that or the time that that we've spent together. So, Heather, enjoy your day. And we are back again tomorrow, garbage day at Beaver Bank. That would be Wednesday.
Until then.